Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 4, episode 3 of the Daily Zeitgeist for November 1st, 2017. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Potatoes O'Brien, aka Young Jackfruit, aka I didn't say Jack O'Lantern on Halloween because that shit is too easy.
Oh, no.
That's not true. I just forgot. And I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes, your boy Young Fuckery is in the building, and it's the first of the month.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by Reed Agnew, creator of Son of Zorn and the showrunner of Wilfred.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man. We're thrilled to have you.
Are you related to Spiro Agnew?
I'm not, as far as I know.
Oh, damn it. I kept saying that every time we brought you up. I just go, oh, yeah, Spiro Agnew? Spiro Agnew's grandson?
Yeah, I get that. Usually I get that from like more like old-timers.
Yeah, well, I showed my hand. Yeah.
Miles is 56 years old.
56, but yeah. I have a lot of cosmetic surgery done.
I'm impressed.
Reed, what's something that you've searched in the last couple of days that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Well,
Google
sea slugs
or otherwise sea slugs.
Yes,
those are gross.
See, no, they are not gross.
That's what I meant.
If you do an image search for them, they will cheer you up. Do a Google image search for sea slugs, and you will see that.
I was thinking of sea lice.
Not that horrible. Of a
oh
place.
Damn! Yeah, those look wow. Like acid trips come to life.
Yes, I don't do acid anymore, but I Google sea slugs.
And you get a little crack your back and get a little flashback.
What do you think is one thing that is overrated?
Locally, like In-N-Out Burger is so overrated.
Interesting.
I feel like.
Tell me why. Okay, what's going on?
I mean, it's good. It's great. But the way it's like people, it's like fish fans. They're like upset. They're like, dude, In-N-Out Burger. I would move away from L.A., except I would just miss In-N-Out Burger. It's like not that big of a deal.
Yeah, that's true.
It's good. Right. But, you know, Wendy's is better, I think.
Wow.
And it's right down the street.
All right, what's something that's underrated?
Well, I'll say, you know what? This day and age, I will say people. People are underrated. Mm-hmm. And I hate people as much as anybody, but you know, the people that make the news are always the loudest, most obnoxious version of people, and so you start to think that people are bad, but you know, people are crazy and weird and hilarious, and most people are good.
That's
most
true.
People are good, and don't forget that. And they're also everybody is super weird.
Right.
You just have to dig in, and I will also say underrated is eavesdropping, especially as a writer. Like, if you just listen to what people are saying, you will be. That's comedy. That's the best thing any comedian or comedy writer, anyone can like get, is just like your average person is insane with weird ideas that they're not doing stand up, but they're just talking in line at the grocery store, and it's like bizarre.
Where do you do most of your eavesdropping? In line at the grocery store? I've found cafes in Los Angeles to be particularly fertile. You can often catch like a life coach advising somebody, and the life coach knows less than nothing about like what they're talking about.
Yeah, the nice thing about eavesdropping is you can do it anywhere. You know, you can go outside right now and eavesdrop. But people are also always surprising me with just their good. They want to be good. Everybody wants, you know, like people underrated, especially this day and age.
Yeah,
because I think bad people win a lot too.
Well, and so much of the news is focused on the bad and not taking into account that there are great things happening.
Good people are just quiet. They're just like, you know what? I'm just going to go home. This isn't a party. This party's not fun anymore.
Yeah,
that was a great answer. It's one of my favorites we've gotten. Unconventional. I don't agree with it. I think people are shit. No, I'm just kidding. No, that was great, man.
Some days I think.
All right, let's get into format where we try and tell you what's going on in the zeitgeist. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world, whether you are looking or not. We talk about politics and news. We also talk about movies and supermarket tabloids. Today, I think, is going to be a little bit news heavy because the political world just does not quit. And we're going to start out with this news that Facebook released yesterday, while everybody was talking about, the indictments. Facebook was like, oh yeah, 126 million Americans were, exposed to our ads that like were served by Russians trying to influence the election. 126 million people. So The population of the entire country is 323 million. So more than a third of these United States, as it relates to our population, were exposed to Facebook ads, which is pretty incredible. You know, I think when the story first hit, they were talking about that it was like something like $100,000 or something
right,
like
right.
that.
Right, right. It was like nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe 10,000, 20,000 here and there.
No, this was a massive global fucking huge campaign to change minds. And I mean, we've talked before about how much we think, you know, just being exposed to an idea can influence you whether you realize it or not. You know, just walking past the tabloids, I think, you know, you changes how you think about people, whether you want it to or not.
Well, that's why I believe Queen Elizabeth actually killed Ron Goldman.
Right, exactly. And I think that's just the truth. But
National Enquirer, hey, don't roll your eyes, producer Anna. Real shit.
But so this is, I mean, this is a problem, I would venture to say. And I think Facebook testified in front of Congress along with Twitter and Google. Is that what it's called?
I think that's what the kids are calling it.
Yeah, they all testified in front of Congress. But this was kind of the number that jumped out to me.
Yeah, because it seemed like everything before was like 2 million people saw something or only 3 million. And now to know it's roughly a third of just over a third of the country. That makes this whole thing even more upsetting because I think, I don't know, I feel like there needs to be more outrage over the fact that Russia is trying to fuck around and try and influence the course of our elections, and we're getting so caught up in these other details. It just shows you what the new sort of form of information warfare is.
And I think it's safe to say at this point they were not just merely trying to. They actively fucked around and changed the course of U.S. history. And so Sheryl Sandberg has said of Facebook's responsibility, she said Facebook hoped to set a new standard in transparency in advertising, which sounds good. Okay. But then she also said if those ads from the Russian accounts, the Russian hacker accounts, had been linked to legitimate Facebook accounts, most of those ads would have been allowed to run, which kind of gets into a gray area of like, how do you stop this without asking Facebook to invest billions of dollars into controlling the media environment that they're providing for people, which, you know, they have been actively messing with the news feeds on people's Facebook pages for many years. Like
right.
When Facebook first started, Cracked was huge on Facebook, and then we weren't like spending money to be featured on people's pages. And so slowly we just got phased out because they were bringing in, you know, people who actually paid for placement. So they do have some control over, you know, what you see on Facebook. So it's weird to me that she's like, we can't. I think her argument, she said, the thing about free expression is that when you allow free expression, you allow free expression. Cool
Profound.
Quote, Sheryl Sandberg. But I guess her point being that there is a blurry line between limiting political advertising and, you know, limiting people who are advertising, you know, their views, but it's, you know, they might not be officially connected to one campaign or another around
right.
an election.
So if you're paying for advertising, why don't you just like, if you're going to buy an ad on Facebook, make it about goods and services. Like why don't they just eliminate the ability to sell an ads that's pushing opinion or like a point of view? Because that's essentially when you start getting into like the political sphere. Like if it's just like, hey, I'm a plumber and here's my number. You got like a clogged toilet. Great. Call Ralph. But
right.
like when you start doing like, hey, all lives matter. Can I buy that ad?
Right.
Like, why don't we just say nah? Like, we don't do ads like that. We'll do traditional ads to, you know, promote your business.
Yeah. Or just anytime somebody tries to advertise in that voice that you were just using, I think that's a good indicator that they probably are up to no good.
Facebook, I'd like to pull out an ad for...
Why are you calling us? Just use our
I'm not sure how this works. I'm not sure how this works.
Other countries have ways of, you know, dealing with this. France has a 44-hour timeout ahead of the polls opening and closing. Oh, I guess it's timed to when the polls close on Sunday. Everybody votes on Sunday, 44 hours before the polls close. There's a complete media blackout where, TV news is not allowed to talk about or cover anything related to the election.
Anything. So that's like completely eliminated from their run of show. It's like, we'll do sports, we'll do the movies.
Right.
We'll do whatever, a human interest piece.
It's over.
And then boom.
Yeah. I mean, this past French election that was between Macron and
Le Pen,
I think Russia, but WikiLeaks, like, leaked a bunch of Macron's emails leaked a bunch of documents that would have, like, hurt Macron's chances, but they did it within this 44-hour blackout, so it didn't affect the election as much as people think it would have.
I feel like the way around Facebook, the way to defeat Facebook is, and Twitter and all that, and Instagram and all that stuff, is just to teach kids. It's like cigarettes. It's like, don't do it. Like, it's bad for you. You know,
right?
And it's not real, and it's not important, and it's like everybody is their own little ad agency now. And when you say like transparent advertising, there's like the whole definition of advertising is like you're trying to get people to buy something that they wouldn't buy,
right?
Without this ad,
modify their behavior.
So it's like, you know, it goes far beyond politics but Facebook, Instagram, it's a generation of kids who are going to grow up really caring about what strangers think about them,
right?
People that they'll never meet, their 30,000 right. Twitter followers, whatever, people that will never exist in their universe, say, you know, shit on one of their comments, and then they ship, and then pretty soon you're in this like angry situation.
Right,
it's like,
right.
That person doesn't even exist.
Yeah. There's nothing of value, really. Yeah. I mean, aside from the connectivity of social media, I think that's great. But I think, yeah, when it begins sort of influencing how you think or behave, that's the slippery slope. And let's be real, Facebook is just trash. I don't use it. I get in trouble all the time because people are like, you didn't get my event
I used to
invite.
Use it, and I know what it's like to be like, ooh, I hope that, you know, I'm being a hypocrite here because I know the feeling of like, oh, that girl I went to high school with likes my family. Like, but I get it's a little thrill, you know.
The absolute thrill of that girl
it's
high school.
You know, it's how are you supposed to like teach kids to be like selfless when everything is about like promoting yourself?
Yeah, because I'm tired of looking at your fucking baby or your fake ass diamond engagement
Miles
ring.
Is looking
well,
at
you
me
talking,
right
are you
now.
Talking to me?
No, I'm talking to everybody. I'm just saying like I like to make eye contact.
Fuck you.
My kid is precious, Miles.
Dude, you're not spamming your Facebook feed because you're like a reason. You're like an actual human being. You're not one of these people who lives for the likes,
right?
And like those are the people who are like kind of like those are the most vulnerable people are the people who live for the likes.
I have noticed that younger people, like people who are, you know, maybe in their 20s right now, are almost like more aware of Facebook as like a vice because they've like had it their whole life. Like
right.
I have like younger cousins or younger friends who like almost all of them have been like, yeah, I quit Facebook for the last 2 years. So I don't know. I feel like maybe just having always had that there, like keeps them a little less like blind to it. They're right. Like aware that it's kind of a fuckery.
I hope. I mean, I see hope in this like younger. I'm 42 now and I still a lot of the times I feel like I'm a kid. And then I used to live around the corner from like the Supreme store. I used to eavesdrop on these kids.
Right.
You know what? They're like, the kids are all right. Like, you know, cigarettes are not cool anymore.
Right.
I feel like getting wasted isn't cool anymore. These are like young kids who you're like, turn down that music. But you're like, these kids are all right. They're smart. They're the same as every generation.
Yeah, right.
The thing that's different is that technology moves so much faster now than it ever has.
I do think a turn is coming where these huge monopolies like Facebook and Google are at least viewed with more skepticism than we have viewed them up to this point. I think the way we've viewed them up to this point is remarkably sort of oblivious to the fact that they're somewhat evil. And I think once kids start viewing them as less cool and they become like less profitable, then like we can't just count on Facebook to do the monitoring themselves. We're going to need either the market to change or for the government to step in. But
yeah, it is a big change because it's like that. It's like with cigarettes, like realizing the Marlboro man died because he smoked cigarettes.
Right.
And you're like, oh, shit.
All right. We're going to go to a quick break and we'll be back after this. And we're back. So we did want to talk a little bit about the fallout from the indictments, also the Papadopoulos, the Papadopoli, the story about kind of flew under the radar a little bit and for the first 24 hours. And now people are like, oh, yeah, that's the kind of undeniably crazy important one. But let's talk about how this story is being covered on right-wing media. They're basically saying, like, it's a nothing burger because this all took place in the past. But, like, read the indictment. The indictment itself talks about how Manafort's crime was from approximately 2006 through at least 2016. Manafort and Gates laundered the money through scores of United States and foreign corporations. So,
but I think, again, what people have to understand, even though the charges don't have anything to do with the Trump campaign, it's clearly a setup move because I don't think Paul Manafort is down to die in jail.
Right. Right.
So by having these charges, they're going to coerce cooperation.
Yeah. And we talked about how the fact that Trump hired somebody who was in the business of getting a Ukrainian puppet for Putin into power is pretty damning. And something I heard today that's also crazy or interesting is that Manafort, like Russian propaganda, has a history of basically doing illegal deals with people who they then like have leverage over so that they can then kind of fuck with them.
Yeah.
So they had leverage. They had essentially compromise on Manafort going into his relationship with Trump. So,
right.
That's another sort of angle to the Manafort thing is that he had this illegal history with the Kremlin.
Yeah. But, well, you know, like I said, the people who have been defending Trump and the idea that there has been no collusion, there's nothing to see here, they are fucking spinning out because some of these like distraction stories they're trying to push are so Bush League and so like empty.
Are they covering instead?
Oh, my God. So, I mean, last week was the Steele dossier, right? It was trying to discredit that, which is just basically opposition research. But Sarah Huckabee Sanders was like, no, we need to talk about that because they paid millions of dollars for fake information to try and smear the president and make it look bad. Okay, so let's first address the idea that the Democrats were even behind this dossier. That is patently false. Paul Singer, who is a very wealthy GOP donor, actually is the one who paid for the dossier or this research to even occur because at the time he was backing Marco Rubio as a candidate. And then once Trump got the nomination, he was like, fine, it is what it is, and stopped funding it. And that's when the Democrats stepped in to continue this investigation because the stuff inside of it was pretty fucking disturbing. Okay, next. Why are you going to pay millions of dollars for fake information? It's called lying, and you can do that for free. So fuck out of here with that. The other one is, oh, Mueller should resign. He's too close to the FBI, and the FBI may have been influenced by the Steele dossier. Again, that really doesn't hold much water. There's the Uranium One deal, which is what they really love right now because they get to talk about Hillary Clinton. I mean, just really quickly, Hillary Clinton could not have approved or vetoed this sale. It required...
So explain what the Uranium One deal is.
Uranium One deal is essentially that, like, Hillary Clinton received money from someone who was involved with this company, Uranium One.
This is the theory.
Yeah, that she received money from this company, Russian company, Uranium One, who basically wanted to mine like 20% of our uranium deposits for nuclear energy. This is not weaponized uranium. This is purely for straight up energy uranium.
Right.
And so basically they're trying to say it was like a whole pay for play scheme. But like, let's be real. The person like that they're trying to say gave her all this money. He divested from the company years before. These sales have to be approved by many departments, including the Department of Defense, the State Department. And so they all agreed that this deal was fine. It had no national security implications.
Right.
And also this story, like the timings of the donations don't match up. And the story was like came out of a book that it like is called Clinton Cash, I think. And that was like funded by like a Breitbart think tank. So it's like just a non-story, just something to bring up again to try and just conjure up the, oh my God, the Hillary thing. And again, Sarah Huckabee Sanders up there on the podium when she's having to take fire for these really shitty looking indictments. She's like, well, the real story is this Uranium One deal. I don't know why they're not looking like at that. And we've talked about this. Let's just even assume that these lies are real. That doesn't change the fact that what's going on with the campaign is absolutely happening and is absolutely real. Also, the Steele dossier, not a single thing has been debunked. They've only been able to prove things. So it's to say that it's like mendacious or spurious.
Right. When the Steele dossier was first introduced, they were like, nothing in there is true. It's all bullshit. And then slowly but surely, like different details are being proven accurate, including some of the stuff that came out in the indictment. So then the
last one is they were trying to just distance themselves from these people saying like, oh, I don't know. We don't know Paul Manafort. And I mean, that was before and he didn't really do much. And with George Papadopoulos, who really, like, let's not forget, this guy basically pled guilty and confessed to colluding with Russia, maybe to not the extent of what we want to say is colluding, but he was the one interacting with Russian agents for the sake of getting dirt on Hillary
right.
for the campaign.
So Papadopoulos was this 30-year-old guy who was not like a super impressive professional when it came to being like a DC operator. His LinkedIn page at the time that he was hired by the Trump campaign featured his work with a model UN in high school.
That's low.
Right. So the Trump administration is now trying to argue that, see, he was just like a volunteer who went out and got coffee for everybody. And I don't know. I think we have clips them making that claim, right?
Yeah, so the first clip is when Sarah Huckabee Sanders is asked at the briefing, hey, what the fuck is going on with this Papadopoulos guy? This is her distancing themselves or trying to mitigate what his actual role was.
This individual was the member of a volunteer advisory council that met one time over the course of a year. And he was part of a list that was read out in the Washington Post. I'd hardly call that some sort of regular advisor or, as you want to, you know, push that he's like a senior member of the staff. He was not paid by the campaign. He was a volunteer on a council that met once.
Okay. First of all, let's hold up, Sarah. Hold up, because you look mad nervous up there and we can hear it in your voice. This WAPO list. This
list that was read out is that she puts it impersonally.
Like, yeah. When he was then candidate Trump, they were saying like, oh, you got a little foreign policy team going together. Like you got some people advising you on what your foreign policy will be as president.
Right.
And he's like, yo, I got some great people.
So is Trump in an interview with the Washington Post trying to explain to them who he was going to hire for his foreign policy advisory team?
Waleed Faris, who you probably know. PhD advisor to the House of Representatives Caucus and he's a counterterrorism expert. Mm-hmm. Carter Page, PhD. Mm-hmm. George Papadopoulos.
Ooh.
He's an oil and energy consultant. Excellent guy.
Excellent guy.
Excellent guy.
I would be insulted if I were Manafort or Papadopoulos or who's the other guy?
Gates. Well, Gates is the other guy.
Gates, right. Because I know that cops, when their first round of arrests are always based on the fact that they think you're a pussy and not gangster.
Right.
You got to get the like little weak mice. You don't just arrest John Gotti.
Right.
You know, so you by definition, the first round, they're already like, this guy is... He's going to get scared easily.
He First of all, he's in a photo of this foreign policy advisory board, of, they want to say a volunteer thing, with Trump at the table, with Jeff Sessions at the table, who basically that would have been his advisor, essentially.
Right.
And then for, you know, if you remember Jeff Sessions, when he was confirmed, like Al Franken was like, do you have any knowledge of anyone from the campaign trying to communicate with Russians? He was like, no, not that I can recall.
Right.
Meanwhile,
this
cut to this photo.
This dude worked directly for Sessions, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know if he worked for him, but like that foreign, like that Sessions was heading that up. So
right.
Basically.
And he was on that.
That's in his purview, basically,
right.
as being on that council. But yeah, to say that he doesn't know, that photograph, and even in the indictment, is the meeting where Papadopoulos brought up that he had an in with the Russians. So,
right.
I mean, the whole thing stinks like shit.
Well, I will also say the second thing I gleaned from this is Sarah Huckabee Sanders, watching her give that speech, I like her taste in fashion. I think that string of pearls and that sweater she's wearing is probably cashmere.
Fuchsia.
Very.
Yeah, it's like a lilac or something. It looked like a really beautiful sweater and a nice choice in jewelry. Classic, probably from Cartier.
Right. And she's very good at her job. Like, the way that she described the Washington Post thing was a Washington Post list that was read out.
Right.
So that makes it impersonal. Like, it makes it almost sound as if the Washington Post read a list that this guy's name was on. No, the president, when asked by the Washington Post. When asked by the Washington Post who you are going to have advise you, gave this guy's name. Like, that was maybe the second or third, fourth name that he
gave. Yeah, it was, yeah.
So, yeah, he and I'm guessing he wouldn't call out the coffee boy, but.
I just did a little research and I just realized that those were fake pearls.
No.
Oh,
God. Not real.
Not That's, you, Sarah.
I tried.
I do think that, I mean, where is there for Trump to go from here? I don't think he's going to be able to kind of sit back and let this go on for too much longer. I think he's probably going to fire Mueller
I heard something about that. Can he cannot do that.
He can.
But I don't think even
from
right wing people
standpoint.
You can't fire the cop that's investigating you. Like, it just
we
seems
did it
like
once.
Did that once.
And we let him get away with that.
Yeah.
Right.
But it wasn't a grand jury investigation.
Well, yeah, now that's why.
So, like, you can't, the president is not above the law.
Right.
And that's I don't think anybody in Congress can support
that's
that.
The problem, because I think when.
And honestly, I don't know.
No,
maybe
Lindsey,
he can.
Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, when they asked him, they're like, you know, what would the response, like, what do you think would happen if Trump actually fired Mueller? And he's like, he said, there will be holy hell to pay if he does that. And he's a Republican senator. So they even know to defend that would just be just a totally, it would kill your career. Like, you couldn't, you can't defend that.
It's really like, at what point do these people that enable Trump?
Yeah.
Trump
right.
is a monster and a little baby. So he is just a pathological narcissist and he is what he is. But it's the people that are enabling him in a way that are worse.
Yeah.
It's like, at what point are you like, no, this is insane?
Well, I think that's the.
Like, that's, and at what point are you like, my legacy is going to be.
Exactly.
This horrible thing.
And that's a point they're slowly approaching as they're all in the convertible together, approaching the cliff's edge, being like, when are we going to get off this thing? Or are we going to bet the farm that this car will fly once we hit the edge of the cliff and we'll just fly off into.
Well, you worked for Trump, wouldn't you, and you were part of his cabinet, you were one of his advisors, would you really want to protect him? Like, working for him is fucking hell and utter chaos. Like, wouldn't you just be like, yeah, dude, just fire Mueller, like, whatever, just so that he's gone and you can work for Pence then?
I don't know.
You just,
it's like when you're a Jets fan and you're like, I hope we lose all the games.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I will also say this. I think the genius thing about Trump, and this is just coming from, like, human psychology, is that, like, he has made it so that he is so crazy that everything that the other side says is reactive and angry it's so easy to say, like, this is wrong, this guy's evil, this guy's bad, and that is an emotional, angry response. And I'm politically I'm very, very, very liberal. I'm like left of Obama.
Yeah, your nails are painted blue.
No, that's just my circulatory problem.
Oh, no.
No, but I wish I heard more of the other side, like, okay, not just this guy sucks, but here's what we want to do. Here's the hope.
Yeah, that's the messaging problem.
Forget about, okay, eyes on our own paper. Like, what do we have to offer?
Right.
What if it was this? If we did this? And I hear, and it gets, and there probably is that, but gets buried beneath the, like, it's just complaining about what you should complain about, but it becomes too much complaining and less like, okay, he does that, but this is what we're going to do.
This is
the guy that's going to save us.
Yeah, Democrats are just
woman.
Looking.
Who is that person?
Well, we'll see. I mean, that's a much bigger question. But I think the Democrats just have a messaging problem because they're looking at this Mueller thing as like the thing that's going to save the country for the moment, rather than kind of like looking ahead of like how will we actually wrest power back after this and begin to actually create some movement in direction. So
I see Mueller as like Robb Stark in early Game of Thrones. It's like Joffrey's doing all this shit, but like Rob's coming.
Right.
Yeah.
And then hopefully
Rob's the
hopefully
good guy.
Yeah. But
the good
then
guy always wins.
Hopefully Mueller won't have a red wedding.
There very well could be. So
yeah, the red wedding will be when Trump fires him or something.
I don't know. But like luckily there are investigations going
on. Or someone
on.
Stabs him.
Yeah. In New York and Virginia, the attorney generals there are also building cases against these people. So even if Trump if let's say he pulls a plug on Mueller or tries to pardon people, there are state investigations going on. So if you're charged by the state, the president can't pardon you.
Yeah.
So Mueller is definitely playing, as the Donald Trump supporters love to say, he's playing 4D chess right now and has created a few trap doors. So we'll see. I mean, again, we don't know the extent of any of these investigations quite yet, but it seems like Mueller is pretty.
So the speculation is that he's doing that. He's building up these state departments because they could prosecute if he was fired, essentially.
Yeah, well, if these attorney generals have the same information, they'll be like, well, if we can't charge him federally, then we can – these are crimes within our state. And again, if you're charged with like these kind – like money laundering and other stuff, like, you know, it's basically saying Trump, like, look, either way, you're probably – things will come to light. So it's up to you how you want to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go to a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. So we're kind of running out of time. We wanted to just talk about General John Kelly, a.k.a. The artist formerly known as The Good One, who is no longer The Good One, went on Laura Ingraham's show on Fox News and defended Robert E. Lee and said the Civil War was about a failure to compromise. Ta-Nehisi Coates had an amazing Twitter thread that you should go read right now. That's your homework assignment. Yeah. You can actually just on my Twitter, I retweeted the thread, Jack_O'Brien, or you can go directly to the source at Ta-Nehisi Coates, T-A-N-E-H-I-S-I, Coates with an E, C-O-A-T-E-S. But we will talk about it tomorrow. We're just running short on time, so we're just going to go out talking about probably the stupidest decision that anyone's made with regards to travel and cocaine use in the past, I'd say, a couple weeks at least.
Dude, what was our last cocaine story?
Yeah, it's been a while. There's so many. The kid who plays Will's older brother, Winona Ryder's eldest son.
Right? I think Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Yes.
Who I think is perfectly pulls off that like unwashed kid who kind of smells bad in school. Like, look, he has that sort of, always just a glaze of, you know, night sweat on him. And, he apparently was earning that look because from cocaine use, possibly. He was arrested at LAX with cocaine, flying in from Heathrow. Apparently, he is a British, as we call them.
Mm-hmm.
And, Miles, you were pointing out that this was a poor decision.
I mean, come on. Charlie Heaton.
Charlie Heaton.
That's his name. He basically, I think they what they found were traces of the drug, and he admitted to using cocaine or whatever. I'm not sure exactly how much they found, but come on, my man. You're bringing cocaine to America?
Yeah.
Do you bring sand to the beach? The fucking cocaine is here.
In Los Angeles.
If anything, you go home with the cocaine
right.
from here. Right. But I'm just, yeah, he looks like he was definitely method acting to get that look of like a strung out dude.
Have not slept in weeks.
Well, because that whole family, like they did a good job casting it. Like from Winona Ryder to the kid who plays Will to this guy. They all look like they are like dealing with some shit. And this season has been interesting because like essentially it's funny because at the end, you know, like Will went missing and then he came back and like now people are like, they're like, what's wrong with Will? It's like, motherfucker, this dude has PTSD from being like trapped in another dimension.
Right.
And I don't even know how you explain that to another 12-year-old kid. And like, what's wrong with Will?
Will's being a dick.
They're like, you heard of the Upside Down? That's right. I'm fucking 12 years old dealing with this shit. That's why I'm zombie boy. And again, I like to, just to say, I don't want to spoil anything. I like the season so far. I'm a little mad at Dustin's character. He's making some decisions.
Dustin is which kid?
Dustin is the curly hair kid who had the missing teeth. He's got teeth now.
Okay.
But now he's back in it. He's got a nice grill on. And you know, it's getting more interesting. They're revealing more. We're starting to understand more. So, without spoiling anything, I'm just going to leave it there. But yes, dude.
Worth watching. Dustin is fucking up.
Yo, I'm not, and I'm only in like episode 7. I'm just like, he's doing that thing where like you get mad at the character because they're making decisions that like, even if you were writing the show, you're like, this isn't what the character would do.
Right.
And also like, in terms of the narrative of the show, you're like, this is not, you just, yeah, anyway.
Is that something that's on your mind as a showrunner or a writer, Reed? Like, let's avoid having a character behave in a way that nobody would ever behave.
Yeah, that's always a big concern. Like, why would he do that?
Right.
Like, I remember I tried to watch American Horror Story and like, with the woman who lived next door to the family the first season, mm-hmm. they would like turn, the main guy would like turn around in his house and be like, oh, yeah, oh, you gotta stop creeping up on me like that. And it's like, get it out of my house. right. That's the first thing.
You wrote that line
like,
wrong.
You look scared. Like, you should be like throwing her out of your house right. and be like, don't ever come in my house. you can't do that.
Right.
Like, I don't care who you, even if you're not creepy as shit like you are,
right.
you can't be in my house.
Right, right. It's like,
neighbors can't just, yeah. Oh, geez,
what are you doing here? Okay, how can I help you?
Right. sometimes he'd like apologize. Like, sorry, you just scared me.
It's right.
Like, you're in my fucking hallway.
We're ignoring a really big thing here.
Reed Agnew, thank you so much for coming on, man. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you. It was fun. Thanks for having me.
Where can people follow you on
they can't.
Yeah,
they can't.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, what's your address?
I'm not on, if they want to call me, my phone number
867-5309.
Yeah.
For me, guys, please just follow me. Just philosophically. I'm not even gonna plug anything. Just follow my way of thinking.
All those times that you thought Miles had abandoned you, it was actually that Miles was carrying you on the beach.
Thank you. Oh my, that's why there was one set of footprints.
Exactly.
Ha ha!
You can follow
Jesus.
You can follow me at Jack_OBRIEN. And you can follow us at The Daily Zeitgeist on both Facebook and Instagram. Daily Zeitgeist, just Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. You can find the footnotes for The Daily Zeitgeist on dailyzeitgeist.com. We put up links to all the articles that we are pulling our facts from. And yeah, we're gonna go out on one of my favorite passive aggressive questions from a reporter of the past couple weeks. Wanna play us out, Nick?
Did he remember anything about that meeting, his interaction with Papadopoulos, given that he's talked about his great memory?
I don't believe so.
Whoa!
You burnt.
Blah, blah, blah. Shots fired.
I bet she smells really good. I can imagine that sweater smelling really good.